Buster, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right, I'd like to welcome you to the show. You are listening to Linderman Unleashed on the Natural News Radio Network. I am once again in the studio with my lovely wife and co-host Kimberly. Wanted to start off today. There's been quite a few posts on Facebook, on one of our favorite websites, Age of Autism, by a number of parents, always getting comments on the Facebook pages and what have you. And it seems as if there's a whole lot more parents out there that are becoming aware of the fact that the mainstream medical establishment could give a damn less about the damage done to our children via vaccinations, GMO foods, you name it. And parents are continually, I should say, I hesitate to use the word start getting really mad. I think we're far beyond starting. But I'm seeing it ramped up a little bit more. And we had a little personal issue yesterday that really feeds that anger. And that issue would be, we have a vaccine injured 10-year-old child, and the process of cutting his fingernails was so
traumatic.
Yeah, it really was. And it's those little things. And my God, when we talk to parents all across the planet, because we are very much so involved in the vaccine injured child community, I hesitate to say the word autism community, you think about the fact that we're talking about, oh my God, what did we just have to go through to attempt to cut Caden's fingernails yesterday? And then you think about these parents that are almost on a daily basis, or possibly even a couple of times a day, wiping crap off the walls. Literal crap off the walls, dealing with the insensitivities that family members and the general public when you're out in a grocery store. And then you see organizations like Autism Speaks and the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, saying, oh yeah, well, you know, we have no idea what's wrong with your child, but, you know, we're spending billions of dollars every year trying to find that ever elusive gene.
Right.
And that's what's fueling this anger in the vaccine rights or anti-vaccine community. We know what's going on. It's so obvious. It is that 1,200-pound gorilla sitting there ready to slap you. You know what I mean?
And there's a new Facebook page. It's called Thinking Moms Revolution. And quite a few of them are friends of mine who've decided that they're not going to sit back and just let it happen anymore. It's already happened to their kids, and they're writing about it, eloquently writing about it, and getting information out to other parents. So if you are a thinking mom, a thinking dad, a thinking person, check out that Facebook page. Some wonderful writers.
Yeah, and it really does need to get out there to the mainstream. What's the name of the Facebook page again?
Thinking Moms Revolution.
Okay, I hope they get a lot of hits. I do want to thank the listening audience for listening in. We've been getting some great comments about just loving the show, and we haven't even begun. I mean, we were off the air for a good 4 or 5 months before getting back on the radio with Natural News Radio, and it really does take some time. I'm constantly talking, constantly writing, but it still takes some time to get back into the swing of the radio. So if you're loving the show now, just hold on to your seats, because it's going to get better. We got our first review of a blogger, and I swear to God, she's a recent friend on Facebook. I think it happened because we were kind of really ramping up the program about 2 weeks before the program debuted, Linderman Unleashed. We started a Facebook page, and we started letting all of our old listeners know and getting a hold of new listeners, and this lady decided, hey, I'm going to check this out. She's got a vaccine injured child, and wrote a review on her blog that just blew my mind away. It really, really kind of, that's the kind of thing that strengthens us and brings our resolve back around to say, you know, we're reaching the right people. As the introduction to the show talks about on Natural News, you're either going to love Linderman Unleashed or you're going to hate it. Okay, we really come at it in a real blue collar, in your face type of way that some people aren't going to like. But you know, we really have to just stay true to ourselves and just dig in. And the fact of the matter is, if you're a little bit upset about some expletives on the program, these people are trying to kill us. They're poisoning our children.
And we're very passionate about it. And most of the stories, we have a personal emotional attachment to the story for some reason because of something that's happened with our family.
Right.
And that's a lot of the dynamic of the show. We try to put in, you know, the things you remember most in your life have an emotional attachment.
And it does get quite emotional. And as I was saying, these people are, these elitists, these New World Order scumbags are poisoning our food supply, poisoning our water, poisoning our children, injecting our children with all sorts of crap. And if you're concerned about a couple of expletives, you know, maybe you're not in the fight like you should be. That's all I'm saying. I don't mean to offend anybody when I'm doing these stories, although I will offend people. You've got to understand the passion that's there. I'm a product of a mom that talks like a sailor. I'm a product of the Army that taught me words my mom didn't even teach me. So I really do have an inner struggle not to say a lot of the things that I want to say. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Kim kind of sits here and might
have to... I've got a little choker collar on him, and I have to jerk it every now and then. But yeah. You'll realize when I'm jerking it, and I normally try to come up with words when he can't. You'll notice that we finish each other's sentences quite a bit.
Yeah, that comes from years of marriage.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to tie in these first two stories together. Now, one, we had on the for the program yesterday, but didn't get to. That happens a lot. I'll normally have 10 or 15 articles that I've researched in front of me, at least 10. And sometimes we get to one or two. So we always have some backlog. But then Kim gave me this conference flyer this morning that ties in perfectly. And to be perfectly honest with you, I had them both sitting here. They're not next to each other until just now. And as I was talking and as you were talking and I was thinking literally seconds ago, I'm like, this is a perfect tie-in together. So I'm going to tie in the conference first, and then we're going to talk about the article that I wanted to talk about yesterday. National Conference for Parents and Professionals. Autism Speaks, National Conference for Families and Professionals. Autism Speaks is pleased to announce its first National Conference for Families and Professionals to be held Friday and Saturday, August 3rd and 4th, 2012, at the Hilton Columbus in Columbus, Ohio. The theme of this year's conference, believe it or not, is treating the whole person, providing comprehensive care for children and adolescents with ASD. Now, here are the people that are they're pushing to welcome to this conference: physicians, psychologists, nurses, allied health professionals, which allied health professionals, to me, that means, are you our ally or are you one of those fringe guys or gals?
I don't know. Allied, isn't that like a company?
I don't know. Educators, behavioral specialists, and other professionals, as well as families affected by autism. That's like kind of like a little...
Afterthought.
Yeah, afterthought. Yeah, y'all can come too. You know, we'll give you some free lunch maybe.
Oh, they won't give them a free lunch. Are you out of your mind?
Okay, it's going to be co-sponsored by Autism Speaks, Nationwide Children's Hospital, Ohio State University's Wexner Medical Center, and, drumroll please, the American Academy of Pediatrics. That, I am sorry. Now, I know Autism Speaks is a despicable, disgusting, horrible operation. And, you know, you can say all you want about, hey, you know, they do some good things. And Kim will sit there and look at me like, you know, give them, you know, sometimes give them a break. I am so sick and tired of giving these buttheads a break. And for them to partner with the very organization that is poisoning our children and causing this epidemic is criminal, is despicable, and I hope someday they will burn in hell for what they're doing. I just am so sick and tired of this industry corporation mix with people at least claiming to try to help our children. How do you... That would be like PETA coming on board with Michael Vick and saying, we're going to talk about dog safety here. It's absolutely despicable. You are partnering with the very problem. And it's not a think tank where they're all going to come together and say, and there's going to be this massive Christian awakening where they're all going to say, oh my God, we've been doing this and let's try to make it better. It is typical industry bullcrap. And I'm just absolutely disgusted. You know, there should be a number of parents and others affected by autism going to that conference, not paying a penny to get in, and standing out in front of that hotel and that conference center with signs telling everybody walking in there what despicable, horrible human beings and liars these SOBs are. That's what should be done.
And the reasoning behind this, some in the listening audience might not be aware, and some might give money to Autism Speaks, you know, through research of thinking-minded people. They found that it is the higher echelon of Autism Speaks that all the money goes to.
Well, yeah.
Parents are doing these walks, organizations are doing these walks, people are lighting it up blue for Autism Speaks. If you have heard of one family who's received funds, money, grant, help from Autism Speaks, please let us know. Go to the Linderman Unleashed Facebook page and let us know, because we have not talked to one family who has received anything from Autism Speaks in order to help their child.
And you know, even if I hear from one or two, even if I hear from 100 families, I could give a crap less, because there's hundreds of millions of dollars going into this organization. And the CEO or CFO or whoever the hell it is, chief science officer, even makes almost $500,000 a year. It's despicable. It's absolutely despicable. And then seeing that they're co-sponsoring this event with the American Academy of Pediatrics, is absolutely just mind-boggling.
Well, I'm going to keep checking the website to see what the speakers are going to be saying, to see what vendors are going to be there. I want to know what they're going to talk about.
Well,
I want to know what they're going to talk about and what they're thinking about educating the masses about.
What do you want to bet Sanofi Adventist and
they'll
Merck
be the
will
biggest
all
sponsors.
Have booths there?
They will be the biggest sponsors.
There's no doubt about that. Now, in conjunction with that, is the article that I was going to talk about yesterday, pediatricians taking hard line on vaccinations. Keep in mind, Autism Speaks is holding a conference supposedly for helping children and adolescents with ASDs, and they are co-sponsoring with the American Academy of Pediatrics. Pediatricians across the nation are taking a forceful line in requiring families mandatory See, this is not written well, so it kind of throws me off.
They mandatorily vaccinate their children.
Right. It's just not written well here. Pediatricians are forcing families to either vaccinate their children or find another doctor. What does that tell you right there?
Well, I'm sorry, but like I said on our first show, they can find another patient, because that doctor works for you. He is your employee. He works for you. Fire him.
Exactly. Fire them right away, or her. Despite the fact that medical associations don't recommend patient bans, as reported by the Wall Street Journal. Families that try to find another doctor are having trouble finding a pediatrician that will accept them when they find out the families are choosing not to vaccinate. Well,
oh, there's plenty of them out there. You just have to dig a little bit.
And in some areas of the country, some parts of the world, it might be really hard to find.
To find a pediatrician.
What? Right.
So then you find a general practitioner, you find a naturopath, you find just a plain old MD who will see your kid and not push this crap and give you choice, which is your right.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if your kid ain't sick, why in the hell do you need a pediatrician to begin with?
Exactly.
I would recommend, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not giving medical advice, I would recommend what I would do for my own person and my own family is have a general medical practitioner on board for emergencies. Other than that, stay the hell out of my lives, stay the hell out of my kids' lives. We don't need your pharma-controlled medical industrial complex crap in our family. We're doing just fine, thank you. What do you need a pediatrician? Well, baby visits. That is the most ridiculous thing in the world. My baby's fine. How about I keep him or her the hell out of the pediatrician's office where all the sick babies are?
Exactly. And, you know, when I was a first-time mom, I had a pediatrician. I took the baby into the doctor. She made sure that, you know, that my daughter was, you know, latching on right. I was breastfeeding, making sure that I was cleaning all, you know, under the neck and the fat rolls. I was a new mom. You know, you're afraid. You're afraid to, you know, really clean your... So she showed me under her neck where I needed to clean better and all these different little things. But she didn't push the vaccines. You know, she asked me, did my daughter get vaccinated? Yes. This doctor actually talked to me about it, gave me the list. And then my insurance was canceled. I'd gone in to see the doctor and they said, well, you can't see the doctor today. And our daughter was supposed to get shots. I was completely terrified. I was completely terrified. I went home and immediately got on the phone trying to find somewhere where I could take her to get these shots because, oh my God, something was going to happen to her.
It was going to be your fault.
I hardly ever took her out of the house. So I took her to the health department. I took her to the health department and got shots at the health department.
Yeah.
Because I was completely terrified because I was not educated.
Well, you know, most of the people listening to this show are in the same, were at one point in time in the same boat. I can't tell you. I really wouldn't know what the percentage is of the listeners of this program that have a vaccine-injured child, but I would imagine with our background, it would be relatively high. We were all in that same boat. That's the thing is, if we vaccinated our child and our child got damaged, it was because we trusted those vaccinations and subsequently trusted the doctors pushing those vaccines. So we were all in the same boat. We were all a victim of the inculcation, if you will, the brainwashing that the medical industrial complex has been so successful at in Western society right now. They have been damn good at what they do, which is push their poisons, whether it be the GMOs or the vaccines or the statin drugs or, you know, the inhalers or whatever it is, you know, the Ritalins and the Risperidols of the world, you know. They're quite good at what they do. Diabolically evil, but quite good at it, you know.
Absolutely.
There are three sides in the vaccination controversy fueling this decision by pediatricians. On one side are the pediatricians, the Centers for Disease Control, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Academy of Physicians. That recommend children be vaccinated against 15 childhood diseases. In the middle, you have families that are asking questions about vaccine safety and asking for a relaxed schedule. The other side has the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, the National Vaccine Information Center, and Generation Rescue that take the position that parents should have choice to vaccinate their children or not. You know, they make it sound, well, for one thing, they left out the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, which really does not push vaccines at all. But that would sound, you know, here they've put naturopathic physicians, the National Vaccine Information Center, and Generation Rescue in that last little group, that little fringe group, the little weirdos.
Well, it's like a tug of war. It's, you know, in the middle are the parents, and then on grabbing the left arm, is the CDC and the AAP, and on the other arm, it's Generation Rescue and the Fringe.
Kind of portraying them as victims, if you will, the parents in the middle.
Well, the parents are victims. Well, I'm sorry, but the parents are victims. We were victims. But you know what? Now we're proactive.
Right. In the middle are the parents who have done research and have questions. They understand vaccinations can help fight illnesses and are important. Well, I would beg to differ with that, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But they want to be sure of the facts before blindly agreeing to the intense vaccination schedule that the CDC and pediatricians promote. They question reports of toxins in vaccinations and worry about side effects that can be life-altering. They are not against vaccinations. They simply sit in the middle. So they're not even putting people like me in this equation at all.
No, you're on the other end. You're over with Generation Rescue.
Oh, no. Generation Rescues, I love them to death, but
they're way too nice for you.
They're way too nice. I say take that. I got a place for your syringe. Those that oppose vaccinations argue that the children's immune systems can deal with most infections naturally. That is, many people on the other side might think that's really fringe. That is just common sense. Kim, we're going to be putting on our website not only the alternative schedules, which even you were kind of like apprehensive about approaching me with it, because it's like, you know, they still talk about vaccines, but it's these doctors like Dr. Sears and everything.
And Dr. Miller.
And Dr. Miller that will
Stephanie
offer
Cave.
You an alternative schedule, if you will.
A safer schedule.
And I'm all for that. If parents feel the need to vaccinate, my God, at least do it somewhat intelligently. I'll put that on my website. But what I really like, what we're about to put on the website, is the homeopathic treatment guide for the childhood diseases.
Right.
I like that idea because I think it will give parents, oh, you mean...
There's a treatment for measles?
Yeah, you mean chicken pox is not going to ravage my family and kill us all off? There's a simple homeopathic remedy for that? Well, one thing that really blows my mind is you look at measles, you look at mumps, you look at chicken pox, and prior to these vaccinations, doctors would simply say, lots of bed rest, lots of fluid, you know, and wait it out. And after the vaccination, suddenly these diseases are the scourge of the world. It's the Black Death.
And you have to think about, back then, people actually ate properly.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't GMOs. There weren't preservatives and additives and natural flavors that aren't natural and all these food dyes. And now there are. So if you choose not to vaccinate your child, you have to make sure your child's healthy. You
right.
can't just say, oh, I'm not going to get my child the shots and then take him to McDonald's every day.
Right.
You know, let him suck down 5 Coca-Colas and eat the Skittles. If you're going to be a responsible parent and say, I am going to take control of my child's health care and not vaccinate them, you have to be a responsible parent and make sure that their immune system is capable of fighting this stuff.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. You cannot just be one of those parents to say, oh, I'm going to fight the New World Order and not vaccinate my kids. Here, Johnny, have a Big Mac.
Right.
You can't do that.
No,
you have to be responsible. There's little doubt about that. In fact, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. Let's see, where did I end here? To be sure that the facts before blindly agreeing to the intense vaccination schedule that the CDC and pediatricians promote. They question reports of toxins and vaccinations and worry about side effects that can be life-altering. They are not against vaccinations. They simply sit in the middle. Those that oppose vaccinations argue that the children's immune systems can deal with most of the infections naturally. That's where we were getting at as far as the homeopathic stuff. They speak of the possible side effects of vaccinating, such as seizures, paralysis, and potential death, as not worth the risk. They believe that numerous studies prove that vaccines may trigger problems like learning disabilities, multiple sclerosis, or autism. Some are concerned with vaccine ingredients. This is where, on March 5th, March 5th, Dr. Tenpenny's Vaccine Research Library is going to go online. This is where you're going to get all of that information. She has compiled this list of peer-reviewed studies showing all the dangers, all the things that the journalists and the pediatricians know nothing about or will refuse to talk to you about.
I really wish it was there now, because this week I've been inundated with questions about vaccine schedules, safe vaccine schedules, studies, you know, how do we combat, this person's asking me this or that, and all I could think about was, Lord, I wish that was online.
Right. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Now, of course, it is going to cost a little bit. Bloggers, journalists, concerned moms and dads, it's going to be worth the money, especially if you're one of those parents that, like us, get involved in the conversations, especially with people that are saying we're a bunch of crackpots. it's going to be nice to have all this info that so many of us, and gosh, if you're on Facebook or if you go to the TV channels when they have a story. Vaccine story and you start commenting and you see all those infuriating comments, you want to combat it, and then you will spend hours
and days
looking
and
up
stuff.
And
that is what the people who comment want. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. They want you to spend all your time posting all this stuff, and then they'll just say, oh, whatever, and be
right.
gone.
Yeah,
they exactly. don't care how much time you've spent. They really don't want to know the answers.
You know, it's really amazing when you talk to people, even pediatricians, that'll say, it's a one in a million shot. It's nothing to worry about. Certainly there's no problem. Then why in the hell did President Reagan have to pass the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act back in 1986? If it was really no problem, if it was one in a million, and it was very relatively simple, the redness at the injection site type crap.
A swelling.
The pharmaceutical companies wouldn't have needed this protection.
Exactly. And even by the CDC's own numbers, which, by the way, are from stats that are 6 years old, it's 1 in 91. 1 in 91 with autism. So the 1 in a million comment, it's really infuriating.
Oh, without a doubt. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Now, I wanted to get in to a medical study, and you just have to bear with me here because I did have to get into this other article in order to tie these two together. But this is, we talked about pandas yesterday. We talked about the fact that a lot of the scientists, a lot of the pediatricians and everything are finally starting to come around to talking about pandas. And in the process of coming around, like I said, 6 months ago, they would have been thought of as crackpots. But all of a sudden, it's safe to talk about because it's just that silly
strap. It's because
strap,
of strep.
You know, so it's safe to talk about that. Not safe, by the way, to talk about why is strep really doing what it's doing to the body now? Why is this an anomaly that we didn't see 20 or 30 years
right.
ago? But it's still safe to talk about because they can spin it their way and say, well, it's strep. And, you know, why are our immune systems dealing with strep in this way where the diagnosis, the problem presents itself as pandas or pans or something like that? It's because our immune system is destroyed because of the food we're eating and the vaccines that we're hyperstimulating our immune system with. The other aspect of that is diabetes. As we've talked about many, many times, diabetes, when we were youngsters, was something that even if we had known, really understood it, maybe somebody out there when they were young were really interested in medicine and they thought, well, I don't have to worry about that until I'm 50, 60, 70
right.
years old.
Right.
It was back when I was even in my 20s. It was a disease of the old folks. I'll worry about that down the road. Right now, I'm indestructible. I'll have another beer and chase some tail. You know, it's not that way anymore. We're seeing so much juvenile diabetes, juvenile arthritis. Now, diabetes is an autoimmune disease. Arthritis is an autoimmune disease. So what's going on? I personally believe, for one thing, the main thing is the vaccines. But I also believe, and Kim, I know you feel the same way, I think it has so much to do with the foods we're eating.
Absolutely.
And this new study out really illustrates that. It's from Science Daily. And of course, they've been studying diabetes for decades and decades. Okay. And the primary places that these scientists, these researchers have looked is in the pancreas and the liver. Because insulin's produced by the pancreas, and then sugar's processed and stored by the liver. So when you look at diabetes, it did seem like a no-brainer. Look at the pancreas and look at the liver,
right.
and we'll figure out what the problem is. Well, now what they're saying is, and the title of this article, of this study, diabetes may start in the intestines, research suggests. Scientists at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis have made a surprising discovery about the origin of diabetes. Their research suggests that problems controlling blood sugar, the hallmark of diabetes, may begin in the intestines. Now, this was a study of mice, in a journal that was published, this particular part of the journal published February 16th in Cell, Host, and Microbe. That's the name of the journal. In the new research, scientists study mice that are unable to make fatty acid synthesis in the intestine. Now, FAS, an enzyme crucial for the production of lipids, is regulated by insulin, and people with diabetes have defects in FAS. Mice without the enzyme in the intestines develop chronic inflammation in the gut, a powerful predictor of diabetes. We deal with gut inflammation issues, gut problems, so much in the autism community, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know what? All over. It's not just in the autism community. Look at the general population and how many people have reflux, how many people have GERD, how many people get upset stomach. It's more prevalent now than it used to be.
And Crohn's disease is exponentially risen.
Absolutely. And it's all tied in with the food.
It is. And, you know, I think when we start looking at the gut issues and they're saying, well, you know, what the basic problem here is diabetes being an immune problem, and now they're looking at the gut. Well, wouldn't it have been a no? What I'd like to know is where in the hell are these researchers coming from? Anything that has to do with the immune system, the gut should be looked into directly. Okay? When you look at the fact that it is basic, common knowledge that the gut is 90% of your immune system, I don't care if you're looking at an autoimmune disease like asthma. Look at the gut. If it's an immune problem, the gut should be a factor in your studies. Right off the bat, plain and simple. I sometimes wonder, and this is not a big stretch, if some scientists just study stuff because they know it's not going to go anywhere, but they got grant money and they're going to make a buttload of money. And when they don't find something, they're going to be the leading researcher in that field, so they're going to get more grant money to study something else. It makes no sense to me, some of the crap that goes on.
Well, how many scientists do studies and we never see it? Nobody ever sees it because it comes to some conclusion that they don't want us to know.
Oh, very, very often. Well, that's kind of the premise behind Sherry Tenpenny's, Dr. Tenpenny's new website, the Vaccine Research Library, because there are studies out there that were published. I mean, the thing is somebody gives you money as a scientist to do some work. They want something on paper. But if that something on paper doesn't coincide with the results they were looking for, yeah, and their agenda, what they're going to do is just kind of push it aside, and the media won't get a hold of it. Nobody will get a hold of it. What happens to it? Well, now it's ending up in this research library, which is absolutely great. There are the studies out there that are going to prove all this. Okay. Initially, the researchers thought that the mice became sick because of changes to the mix of microbes that naturally live in the gut, where they help digest food and synthesize vitamins. In collaboration with Jeffrey I. Gordon, MD, director of the Center for Genome Sciences and Systems Biology at the School of Medicine, they looked more closely at gut microbes in the mice. The mice had substantial changes in their gut microbiome, Semenkovich says, but it wasn't the composition of microbes in the gut that caused the problem. Instead, the mice got sick because of a defect in fatty acid synthesis.
Mm.
The mice without fatty acid synthesis had lost the protective lining of mucus in the intestines that separates the microbes from direct exposure to cells. This allowed bacteria to penetrate otherwise healthy cells in the gut, making the mice sick. This is what we call an overgrowth of the bad bacteria. Now, what's causing these mice to have this issue? Now, the other thing is, one thing that kind of blows me away here is if you're looking at the gut microbes and then you're saying, well, it's not really the gut microbes that were the problem because they're not there and the cell walls are getting eaten away, the mucous membrane on the walls of the intestines, so these bad microbes are able to get in there. Then guess what? The gut microbe is the problem because it's not there.
Right, and if it's not there, it's not making its own habitat
exactly
to protect the cells in the lining, so the baddies can't get in there. That's the whole objective. Sometimes you have to wonder, whenever I read some of these studies, and it always says, more research is indicated. When you read the study, as a layman, using common sense, is it really that hard to figure out? Sometimes you wonder if they, scientists look at this for so long, and they lose their objectivity, and they the words start to run together, and it just melts into one thing, and then they say, oh, well, it's not really this. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it really is ridiculous. I swear to God, when the revolution happens, and God, let's hope it's a peaceful revolution, and everything gets flipped back around, right side up, I hope somebody's there to listen to the archives of all these programs and offer me and you a doctorate. Because we're getting it. It's not the microbes' problem. Yes, it is. They're not there. That's the freaking problem.
Well, that's the problem. So it's not the microbes' problem. The problem is the lack of microbes.
Well,
change the wording. You know what? It's all in wording.
Why is the tire flat? Well, the tire's flat because there's no air in it, but there's no air, so the air can't possibly be
the problem.
Yes, it is. There's no air. You know, it just blows me away when I think about how moronic these brilliant minds are. It just blows me away.
It's the common sense thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, we're going to get into some talk about the GMOs. I have talked to a number of people about this issue with Bill Gates, but I really wanted for people to hear it in his own words. It's just a couple of minutes. It is a YouTube video, so you'll be hearing it over the mic, but with my brand new blue snowball mic. It should go well. I did get a new mic yesterday, so if you heard the different sound quality in the program, I got away from my little in whatever it was $20 mic that I used for my old program and actually got a professional mic, and I really think it's making a great deal. And Kim's rolling her eyes right now because it's boys with their toys type.
That's right. Let's move along to the video, dear.
Okay. This is Bill Gates at the TED conference talking about that horrible, horrible scourge of the planet called global warming. And I'm going to tell you what right now, if you are a global warming believer, you are not going to like this. You are not going to like this program. You are not going to like me, because you have to be a moron to believe that we are creating global warming. Okay, so this is his solution, and this is what we're going to be talking about, maybe even the rest of the program. This is scary stuff, and keep in mind as you're listening to Bill Gates talk that this is a guy that many in the mainstream media and people, the morons out there, the lemmings that are sitting there on the couch waiting for the call to go over the cliff, really think this guy is this incredible entrepreneur, businessman, and beneficent donor to the betterment of mankind. This is what he really thinks of you, particularly if you happen to be brown.
A little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero, and that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero.
Now, let me stop there. He's talking about all this CO2, population, blah, blah, blah. And everybody starts laughing when he says, probably one of these numbers is probably going to have to get pretty close to zero. They're laughing because this is one of those elitist scumbags, and he's talking about and even has highlighted on the video the P standing for population.
Right.
This is that beneficent benefactor.
Back from high school algebra, but let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Okay. Do you get that? If we do a really good job with vaccines and
new vaccines. Yeah. New vaccines. Yeah.
With new vaccines and all this stuff.
We could probably
drop the population. Wait a minute. I thought you were spending all of this money, you and your despicable hellspawn wife, Melinda, were spending all of your profits from all these computers and everything on helping the poor little brown children in Africa. If you want to depopulate them, guess what? They probably don't want your help. It's absolutely despicable to me. If you're thinking you want this man's help, he wants to depopulate you.
Right.
We're talking genocide. We're talking downright murder. And people still think this guy is great. And I would like to know who was sitting in that audience. Because I personally don't happen to think that dropping the population close to zero is something that I would freaking giggle about.
No. Well, they weren't just giggling. They were laughing.
And laughing. It would have to be almost maniacal to think like this. I could understand saying, hey, we're getting to the point where
way too many people on this rock.
And sometimes when I'm reading the comments on the TV boards, you know, after the stories or you know, where they put the stories out or the newspaper stories and there's comments, sometimes I think maybe he might be on to something because there's a lot of idiots out there. But who is going to be the arbiter deciding who goes? I damn sure don't want him.
No.
And his ilk. Now, this was taped a number of years ago. One thing that you've got to understand is now Bill Gates is like huge into this GMO. I think what he's thinking there, and I don't think this is a very large stretch to go here, is even back then he thought with the vaccines and the family planning and all that crap, we can only drop the number 15%. Well, if you're wanting that letter P, standing for population, in the equation to drop to almost zero, 15% ain't going to do it. So what else are we going to do?
We got to mess with the food. Right. Everybody has to have food.
That's right. And what better way to do it
than with the GMOs?
Yeah, because you can not only control the amount of food that somebody gets, you can control the quality of the food. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, AIDS is a farce. It's crap. AIDS is going to be getting worse, what they call AIDS. And it's going to be getting worse because AIDS is a nutrient deficiency and an immune system malfunction, very similar to what we're seeing in kids now called primary immunodeficiency or PI syndrome. Basically, kids with PI are kids that aren't hemophiliacs, aren't having unprotected sex because they're little kids, and aren't doing drugs. But they're little AIDS patients because their immune system is crashing, which is basically what AIDS is, okay? But they couldn't call it AIDS because that would screw everything up. It's going to totally screw up what we've talked about because you got to wear a rubber, you know, we don't care if you're a drug addict or not, but don't share needles. And, you know, that's pretty much, you don't do those things and you're going to be fine. And God knows the blood supply is supposed to be protected now. Okay, great, fine. But what's the situation with these kids that are coming up with this problem? Well, we can't call it AIDS because these kids aren't doing this stuff. So we're going to call it primary immunodeficiency. Same thing. It is a lack of nutrition and a destruction of the immune system from the vaccines, from everything that's going on this planet, and the food. Do you think that sending GMO products over to Africa, destroying what little bit of farming quality they have there, and inundating the ground with poisons and deleting all the nutrients in the soil that are left, and then having to inject the ammonia into the ground in order to fertilize everything? That's what we're dealing with now. AIDS, what they call AIDS, is going to get far worse when Bill Gates gets done with Africa. They're shipping all this stuff over there, and it's going to get a lot worse. It is a nutrient deficiency, and these people are going to get a lot worse. Have you ever wondered how, even with different economies, with different economic status, with different social mores and everything else, AIDS is rampant in the gay communities and the prison communities over here and in the African communities all across Africa. Well, the people in Africa are being destroyed by the De Beers Corporation, the Rothschilds, and their basic symptoms, the symptomology of AIDS is the same, the destruction of the immune system, but the fact of the matter is, the cause is something entirely different. It is from the mining, from the chemicals, from the vaccines that they're using over there. I can guarantee you the vaccines they're using over in Africa are nothing like the vaccines they're using over here. There's far more crap in it over there to get them sick and dead quicker because they can get away with it over there. You know, the corruption in the government is so much worse. They could throw a couple dollars their way and cover anything up. So they're going to get away with so much more over there than they do here. They've got to be a little bit more covert over here. But the outcome is going to be the same. The total destruction of the immune system, the total destruction of the little people. Keep enough around to take care of the elites and, you know, weed their gardens and clean their swimming pools. But other than that, his idea is not 15% reduction in population. It is a 95% reduction in population. And the way it's going with him taking over so much control over Monsanto, it's going to happen a lot quicker. The battle is raging, but it is about to escalate like we've never seen it before. I honestly believe that.
It's really heartbreaking. It really, just sitting here listening to you, I mean, my shoulders are starting to go down. I'm starting to feel, you know, my mind is starting to hurt. Can we talk about anything happy before we end the show?
You know, it's the same thing. It might be able to get a joke or a laugh in somewhere, but who's got time for that? I mean, we're gonna do happy stories and things, but on this program, we're gonna have a lot of fun. But my God, the battle's raging, and you know, that's the thing with some of the crap that goes on. I just sit back and I sometimes wonder what's the percentage of the people in this country and the rest of the Western Hemisphere that actually is getting this. Is getting that we are, as I said, I believe it was on the debut program, if we're not on the precipice, if we're not lemmings on the precipice, we're already over the edge and don't realize yet that we're in free fall. We just haven't hit bottom yet. And I really believe that we're at one of those two spots. And there's no time to be messing around. There's no time to think about political correctness or happy thoughts. This is a battle that has raged for quite a few hundred years. But it, with technology and everything, it is ramped up really, really fast. And there's some frightening stuff going on. And I know it's not necessarily, you know, a great topic, a good feel-good topic. But if we all get out there and get the word out, we can change this. We literally can change this. You've got to look at the fact that by sheer numbers, the population that he wants to get rid of is his enemy. If they're all educated, 95% of us against 5% of them. They have no chance if we educate ourselves. So the main thing here, and I think the main lesson to take from this is don't be that person sitting there listening to Natural News Radio or reading naturalnews.com or listening to Alex Jones and say, you changed my life and I am going to vote right and I am going to start eating right. You've got to get the word out. You've got to talk about this to all the people. Do not be afraid of being, you know, deemed a quackpot or, you know, somebody that believes in pseudoscience or, oh God, I don't even want to hang out with that person. He's so weird. Then don't hang out with them. Hang out with the people that you can convince. This is really going on. It is time to wake up. And we can't just sit back and feel good about the fact that we have woken up and that we're going to be okay. Guess what, folks? If it's 5% against 95%, but only 5% of that 95% really gives a damn, we don't have a chance. We literally do not have a chance. We have to awaken that giant. We are powerful as heck if we awaken as many as we can.
There's a list going around Facebook, companies that are owned by Monsanto. And one person said, well, you know, I've called some of the companies on the list and I've looked into it and I don't think this list is correct. So one of the things that we need to do for the website is get a list of companies that are owned by Monsanto or companies that use genetically modified products. And we need to have a list out there so people know, look at your pantry. Look at your staples. It's the things that you use weekly.
Yeah.
Weekly that you are spending your hard-earned money on. Look at that and see where it comes from. See who makes it, who manufactures it, and who owns that company. Who owns that company, who owns that company.
Right.
The best thing you can do right now is buy local.
Buy local and fight with your wallet. If you can't find things local, find things that aren't owned by Monsanto. Find things that are using as natural of ingredients as you can. Companies are not going to continue destroying your health with GMO foods if you're not buying them.
Exactly right. And if we talk with our money talks.
Yeah.
Talk with your pocketbook. That's a difference you can make. If you don't want to go out and talk, if you don't want to write something, if you don't want to get on the computer and let your voice be heard, then talk with your pocketbook. Because it's going to make a bigger difference.
But I will let you know, I think everybody, I don't care how shy you are, pull your boots up and get to work. Don't worry about how shy you are. Don't worry about how people are going to think of you. This is no time to play around. We are really at the edge. And it's time to you-know-what or get off the pot. And, I'm not saying everybody's got to get a radio show. Everybody can blog. Everybody can talk to family members. Everybody can talk to friends. Wake them up. I mean, I've lost some friends. I've lost some friends because they're just tired of the preaching. You know what? I don't give a damn. You don't want to hear my preaching? Get the hell out of here. I'll hang out with people that do. Because I don't have time for idiots. I really don't. The time for idiots, the time for playing around is done. This is a fight for the very existence of mankind. I know that sounds, oh my God, this guy's way out there. It really is. We're talking about GMOs everywhere. We're talking about GMO sweet corn in Walmart now.
Yeah, that really frightens me. It really frightens me. And, you know, we planted a garden last year and it was a complete failure. We just moved here. The ground, the soil here is terrible. We had a horrible drought last year.
Yeah.
So right now we're in our planning phases for our garden. You know, we're going to bring in dirt. We're going to build up boxes. We've got our non-GMO, non-hybrid heirloom seeds that we're going to use. You know, we've gone to painstakingly worked on how we're going to have our own supply of food.
Right.
And it's something that everybody needs to think about. You know, there's farmers markets. If you live in the city, there's normally most cities have farmers markets.
Oh, yeah, and real good ones for that matter.
Absolutely. You know, find a local farmer. Go to eatwild.com. There's all kinds of information you can find to find nutrient-rich, real living food to feed your family.
Yeah, and a lot of it is going to have to come from your own garden. You know, even a lot of the food out there that's grown without pesticides and herbicides, you know, if it hasn't been an established organic farm for a number of years and using organic sustainability practices, what's the percentage of the nutrients that are left in that soil?
Right, because the soil is dead.
Yeah.
The soil is dead. So if you try to grow something in dead soil, what do you think it's going to have?
Yeah.
It's not going to have the nutrients that you need. That's why we're also nutrient deficient now. Because the soil has no nutrients in it anymore.
Yeah, even the food that we're eating healthy, it can't have any nutrients in it because it hasn't been able to get any nutrients from the ground. When you look at the anhydrous ammonia that now they're spraying on the fields,
It's injected right into the ground.
The last 3 days going down the road here, the tanks and tanks of it. It on both sides is farm field, and you see the tanks of anhydrous ammonia. And for one thing, you think about the fact that all those idiots out there that look like skeletons with bad teeth doing the meth, the main ingredient in meth is anhydrous ammonia. Yeah. So, my God, that's what they're putting into the ground in order to make the plants
grow
to feed us. That's the same thing as being a bodybuilder and getting shot with steroids. You're not getting any benefit but getting big.
Bigger.
No benefits. In fact, it's actually harmful for you. That's basically what they're doing with this anhydrous ammonia. There's no nutrients in the earth, nothing for these seeds to draw from to grow. So they put this fake stuff in there to stimulate the growth. There's nothing in there. There's nothing good. You can eat an ear of corn and you're getting fiber. There's no nutrients. Your body's not getting it. That's a really important thing, and I can't stress enough. I honestly also do believe, and I know here comes another kicker that Kim's going to say, wow, you were really freaking depressing today. I think the economic crash is coming. I think we are not sustainable whatsoever, and if you're living in a big city, God help you when that economic crash comes. Can you imagine Chicago or San Diego or New York City when the lights go out and the food trucks stop moving? Can you imagine the pandemonium that's going to ensue? If you live in a big city, I would think twice. I know with gas prices and everything, and if you work in a large metropolitan area, that would be a bad thing to move out into the country and have to commute. But I think I would rather do that than be living in a big city when the you-know-what hits the fan. I really would encourage anybody that has the wherewithal and the financial means to get the hell out of big, large metropolitan areas. That's going to be frightening. And I think it's coming sometime before the election. That's what I believe. And even if it doesn't come soon, witnessing the, I guess, just as in the rest of the country, Michigan and Arizona are full of, are primarily a bunch of morons that think that Santorum or Romney might be the answer to these prayers. Just like I said, the rest of the country, we've still got way too many morons out there. This is really frightening stuff, and I honestly believe there's only one guy out there, and I'll endorse him, and I'm not going to be objective or unobjective here or something. Ron Paul, I think, is our only hope. He's got it down as far as, you know, the fascistic nature of this country. He's got it down about the Fed, about the spending. Some of his foreign policies, I like. Some of them, I don't. Nobody's perfect. As far as I'm concerned, I believe there's only one infallible person that walked the face of this planet. And he'll be coming back soon. But until then, nobody else is infallible. You know, and there are just certain things you've got to take with a grain of salt. But when it comes to this economic crash, when it comes to the state of politics here in America, there's only one guy that I think has any hope of turning it around. And the bulk of the community and all of the mainstream media is ignoring him. And it's quite frightening. And it tells you the amount of corruption in the politics and the amount of corruption in the media that they can ignore something so big and so important. It's like they really want this crash to happen. And when you think about it, the media is run by a bunch of elitist New World Order scum. So you get the media to back it, and you know, they might not be thinking like this because they're going to be in the same trouble that we are when it all happens. But ultimately, it's all run by the big elitist scum that really want this crash to happen. So get out of the cities if you can, get a garden, and do what you can to be as self-sufficient as you can. I just don't know how else to put it. It's really frightening stuff, and I know it's kind of a downer for the show, but my God, it's something that has to be addressed. We have to talk about it. So,
okay. Happy trails to everyone.
Hey, you know, what are we going to do? We got to say what we got to say. And we're going to get out there. But this, you know, the other thing is this should energize people. If you can't come out of a listening to a radio show like this and say, you know, even if it just angered the hell out of you, channel that anger into something productive. Whether it's changing something in your own life or getting out there and talking about these issues. Use that anger if it angered you. If it brought you into a blue funk and despair, pull up your bootstraps and get to work. There's no time. There's no crying at the end of the world. There's no crying at the end of the world. It's time to buck up, campers. Right, Kim?
Alrighty then. So, until tomorrow.
Hey, we really appreciate you listening to the radio show, Linderman Unleashed, on Natural News Radio. We do appreciate our listeners. I'm going to tell you that. You are the reason we do what we do, and I just enjoy doing it. And I hope that we get more and more listeners, because we're trying to make a living out of this little radio show as well. And the more listeners we got, the more opportunities we have to sell advertising and get the information out there to everybody. So keep listening, keep promoting the show, and until next time, we'll see you.
The gloves are off.
Have a great one.